Historic arguments were heard by the U.S. Supreme Court today in cases that pit President Trump against the powers of Congress and a New York grand jury. Both have subpoenaed some of Trump's pre-presidential financial records, and he's seeking to block his banks and his accounting firm from releasing the subpoenaed documents. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Three House committees subpoenaed Trump's financial records. The Intelligence and Financial Services Committees were trying to see if money laundering restrictions need to be tightened to prevent foreign influence in U.S. elections. The House Oversight Committee is looking at tightening ethics restrictions in the future to deal with a president who, like this one, has huge business interests that overlap with the government. At about the same time, a New York grand jury subpoenaed the same set of documents in a broad investigation that included a probe of allegations that Trump paid porn star Stormy Daniels hush money during the 2016 presidential campaign. Trump intervened in all these cases, seeking to quash the subpoenas. He lost in the lower courts. So today, the hot potato was sitting in the Supreme Court's lap. Trump lawyer Patrick Strawbridge opened the congressional case, contending that the subpoenas were unprecedented. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg dismissed that notion, noting that unlike previous presidents who've released their tax returns, President Trump has not, and that many presidents in modern times have forked over to Congress their financial and personal records.
But the aura of this case is really sauce for the goose that served the gander as well.
Justice Elena Kagan suggested that Trump is just going too far.
What it seems to me you're asking us to do is to put a kind of 10-ton weight on the scales between the president and Congress, and essentially to make it impossible for Congress to perform oversight and to carry out its functions where the president is concerned. And I wonder whether that fact isn't a good reason to reject your proposed rule.
Deputy Solicitor General Jeffrey Wall chimed in next, contending that the congressional justification for the subpoenas is, quote, paper thin. Douglas Leder, the lawyer for the House of Representatives, defended the congressional subpoenas, saying they were related to the House's ability to legislate on a variety of subjects. Chief Justice John Roberts didn't find his answers very satisfying.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting, that your test is really not much of a test. It's not a limitation.
Justice Ginsburg asked how the court could differentiate between harassment of a political rival and a genuine search for information. Lawyer Leder replied that Trump is different from past presidents.
There's a lengthy history of presidents either voluntarily or not voluntarily complying with requests for information by Congress. You know, Presidents Washington, Jackson, Buchanan, Grant, and then more modern times, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, and Clinton.
All those presidents, he said, complied with subpoenas, either voluntarily or not. Congress can't prosecute said letter, but it can look at criminal activity in order to figure out whether criminal law should be changed. Several justices asked, however, what the limiting principle might be to this argument. Here, for instance, is Justice Clarence Thomas.
At some point, there's a straw that breaks the camel's back.
Trump lawyer Jay Sekulow responded to that question in the next case involving the grand jury subpoena.
Could you imagine just for a moment, Justice Breyer, that I'm going to call the President of the United States today and say, I know you're handling a pandemic right now for the United States, but I need to spend a couple of 2 to 3 hours with you going over a subpoena of documents that are wanted by here, the New York County District Attorney.
Sekulow said that all President Trump is asking for is temporary immunity until he leaves office. That prompted Justice Sonia Sotomayor to observe that judges and members of Congress don't have any similar immunity.
We only give judicial officers and congressional officers immunity for acts within their official capacity. If judges sexually harass someone, we've said that's not within judicial functions, they can be sued. If congressmen do the same thing, they can be sued. So my question still comes, you're asking for a broader immunity than anyone else gets.
Justice Neil Gorsuch wondered why this subpoena is any more burdensome than the one okayed by the court in the Clinton case, forcing President Clinton to give a deposition that ultimately led to his impeachment. Justice Samuel Alito recalled that the court thought that the Clinton subpoena would not impose any real burden. How did that turn out, he asked. Carrie Dunn, the counsel for the New York DA, replied this way.
So I don't think it was this court's opinion or the litigation itself that led to those problems. It, frankly, it was his decision to lie under oath.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.